is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine conflict. I go to the city of Kherson, much in the news recently because after being in the hands of the Russian invaders for many months, it was liberated by the Ukrainian forces. However, then came under a repeated missile attack and is now in the middle of a battle zone. However, I learned from Dan Henniger, there's another part of Kherson we need to pay attention to, and that is the artwork and the heritage, the museums of Ukraine, of Kherson, over its storied 1,000 years. I read from Dan's column, as described by the Wall Street Journal's Ian Lovett, the removal of art began November 1st under the direction of 10 civilians from Russian museums. 10,000 of Kherson's more than 13,000 pieces were taken away, notably all paintings by Ukrainian artists. Dan, a very good evening to you. Why? What do we know about the Russians in retreat ransacking a museum in Kherson? Good evening to you.
Hi there, John. Well, you know, just to be exact about it, I don't think they were, this was part of their retreat, which is an important point. One of the things the Russian infantry does in retreat is pretty recognizable looting of homes, stores, just grabbing stuff. When the Russians took 10,000 items out of the Kherson Art Museum, this had to have been planned. I mean, in the scheme of things, with all of the destruction of infrastructure, buildings and so forth that we've watched in Ukraine, it may not seem like the most important incident that has happened, but I think it has great significance to have looted 10,000 items, including all the art of the Ukraine, out of that museum. It had to have been planned in detail by art specialists in Moscow, just as they've done with many of the other cultural centers around Ukraine. I think the United Nations cites at least 200 instances of assaults on cultural centers or landmarks in Ukraine. And the purpose, clearly, as Vladimir Putin has made clear, is to erase Ukraine's national identity. And one way you do that is by eliminating its museums, eliminating the repositories of a country's historical past. You just take them away, similar to what the Nazis did in World War II. Recall that Winston Churchill in World War II ordered the treasures and art of the National Gallery taken out and hidden. It was, in fact, hidden deep in a cave in Wales. That's where they put their art. So Putin knew exactly what he was doing when he decided to empty out the Kherson Art Museum. It is an act of erasing Ukraine's national identity. And I think, John, that many of the European nations, both Eastern and Western European, are acutely aware of what Putin's game is in Ukraine, and they see this as a direct threat to themselves as well. I mean, the idea is the great Russian Empire is going to expand again and start absorbing other people.
Dan, you point to something that happened in 2001 before the attack on New York and Washington. This is before 9/11, when the Taliban in Afghanistan deliberately destroyed Buddhas, Bamiyan Buddhas, that were a heritage of the 6th century. And at the time it was condemned and the presumption was the Taliban is savagery. But you compare that to the way Russia's conducting this war, at least the Kremlin-directed part of Russia's conducting this war. Is that the same savagery? Are we dealing with the same level of wickedness?
Yeah, we are. And I think that's becoming increasingly clear to people. And which is one reason Ukraine continues to receive the support that it is getting. Russia, post-Soviet Russia, has sat there on the world stage in recent times, certainly under Vladimir Putin. And, you know, it's a kind of a close question whether it remains a superpower, but let's just say for the sake of argument that it is. It's certainly a nuclear superpower, John, no question about that. That's one reason it's regarded as a superpower. And the question was always how to deal with Russia and the Russians and Vladimir Putin. And we try to do business with them. We keep an open openness towards negotiating. things with them. We rely on Russia for minerals and certainly for gas, oil, and energy. But what we're witnessing in Ukraine is the Russian way of war. All of that obliteration, destruction of infrastructure, the endless rubble that they've created. Well, that's what Russia did in Chechnya when it waged war there. That's what it did in northern Syria on behalf of Bashar Assad. It reduced many of those northern Syrian towns to rubble. And now the whole world is witnessing it in Chechnya. And it's a daunting conclusion, John, to realize that this is a country that is willing to engage in what are clearly war crimes and indeed acts of barbarism against another nation. So, you know, the question arises, how are we going to deal with Russia in the long term, no matter how the war in Ukraine turns out?
Yes, a very good question, Dan. A question that's being turned over in Europe and reporting that I've done these last days in Berlin and in Rome and in London and in Paris. What does the post-Ukraine conflict look like, given the conduct of the Kremlin? You can't go in, you can't break into Russia and arrest them. So do you anticipate that there will be a demand that the Kremlin and its lieutenants answer for this, similar to the way the war-making was forced to answer for it in 1945-46 at Nuremberg?
I think there will be an attempt, war crimes tribunals, to bring the Russians to justice. It will be difficult if you cannot bring them in person to a court in The Hague or something like that. But I think that effort will be made. Maybe the larger point here, John, is that I think the world economy is being forcefully reordered at the moment. I would pull into our discussion what's going on in China. The news this past week reported by the Wall Street Journal that Apple is thinking about trying to move a lot of its iPhone production out of China, perhaps into India and Vietnam, because of the disruptions in China because of their total COVID lockdown policies. Something like that is, you know, manufacturing in China is being rethought right now. And I think in the same way, Europe's dependence on Russia, its economic relationship, certainly in energy, is being rethought. Steps are being taken to find alternatives to Russian energy. And I think both these two countries, Russia and China, their relationship with the rest of the world is being reconfigured. It's not going to be easy. We were in very deep with both countries, especially China. But it looks like a process that is underway and probably is going to be irreversible, regardless of the outcome of the war in Ukraine.
And those 10,000 pieces removed from the museum in Kherson, there will be an accounting for them, a demand, and the people responsible will answer for it. Do you expect that, Dan?
I would expect that, John, in a post-Putin era. As long as Vladimir Putin is running that country, it's going to be harder to get those art pieces back to Kherson than it was to get Brittany Griner back into the United States. But the Russian people themselves, once Putin is gone and he ain't going to last forever, are going to have to themselves decide how to reorder, renegotiate their relationship with the world. I think, by and large, most younger Russians do want to have a relationship with the world. And that's when I would expect some of these issues of looted art and so forth to be rethought.
Daniel Henniger is the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. His column is Wonderland, writing about Kherson and what needs to be done after the war. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.